Esther, appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, tonight. We're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, if you will. Isaiah chapter 9. I've done an awful lot of messages out of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the doom, and I don't want to beat you up every night after every night. I want you to understand there's hope. That's why two Sunday nights ago I did the God of all comfort. And for some reason I feel like I need to do this tonight. Isaiah chapter 9. Let's begin. In verse 2, Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor as in the days of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be the burning and the fuel of fire. Let me just stop right there and just say that we can't go through all this stuff. What are you saying? Things are bad. Life is a mess. We've been walking in darkness for years and years, generation after generation after generation. But he has not left his people without hope. I know that there's some things specifically for this particular time, and he's talking about this. But remember, when God writes, when God speaks, he speaks from the perspective of all of eternity at the same time. You see, our Savior was slain before the foundation of the world. Now, the event did not occur until about 2,000 years ago. But he was slain. It was done. The event was already finished in the heart of God. And he says it's like our people, they are without hope. He knows at this point during Isaiah that the people are not going to turn back. They're going to walk in darkness. They're going to end up in captivity. Is all lost? No. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born. It's already done. It's finished in his heart. It's completed. It's just a matter for the events to take place. For unto us a child is born. That's Christmas. Unto us a son is given. That's Easter. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's the second coming of Christ. It's all right there. Jesus is going to come. And he's going to give his life for us. And not only is he going to die for our sins and give us a chance for the world to come to know Christ, but he will come back as the conquering hero. It says the government shall be upon his shoulder and his name shall be called Wonderful. Now, I know a lot of people say his name's going to be called Wonderful Counselor. There's a comma between the two. His name's going to be called Wonderful. Amazing. More than the imagination can think. Counselor. Our wisdom. Our understanding. To see life, to see the world, to see the souls of others as God sees them. The mighty God. All things are within his power, within the scope of his control. The everlasting Father. And Jesus says we are his children. By the spirit of adoption, we can cry, Abba, Father. The Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace. Say that again. The increase of his government and peace See, the government shall be upon his shoulder. He carries the weight of the control. And the increase of his government and peace, verse 7, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The captain of all the armies of heaven will make sure this happens. Let's pray. We're going to talk about the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Father, again, we thank you for meeting with us here tonight. I appreciate these folks coming back tonight to hear your word. Lord, like we talked about this morning, they gave this day to you. Now, Lord, use it. Move in our hearts. Give us what we need. We know that you're faithful and that you're true. And, Lord, I want to be faithful and true in giving your word. Not to say we've had church, but to do something sweet and precious in the lives and hearts of our people. So we give the service to you. Lord, I don't know who might need this tonight, but you do. So, Lord, help us understand these things. Maybe just take a next step in our faith and walk with you. So, Lord, we give you the service. We give you the praise. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 5 says, for every battle the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. In other words, there's a great conflict. There's confusion in the land. What can we do? Well, God will give the answer that we need. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, in other words, his control and his supply of peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. Most people in the world are looking for peace. At least for peace in their own lives. If you ask people what they really want for Christmas, there's many people who say, well, I just wish we had peace on earth. I just wish we had peace on earth. I think they think if there is peace in the world, then they will have peace in their own lives. The fact is, God offers peace and at the same time tells us that there will never be peace in the world until the Lord comes back. On the other hand, we can have peace in our hearts right now in the midst of the mess of the world. You see, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now watch. He's the Prince. God doesn't slide words in just to make them nice, make a flowery picture. Every word is placed there on purpose. He is the Prince of Peace. That word prince means to have dominion, to exercise that dominion. To be the head person, the captain, the governor, the chief, the lord, the master, the ruler. He's the Prince of Peace. To be safe. To feel secure. To feel well, to feel happy. To have a good welfare, so to speak. To prosper. To rest. So number one, I want you to understand this. Jesus, when it says he's the Prince of Peace, I want you to think about it this way. He's the ruler of peace. Now you hang tight with me. Jesus is the one who is in charge of peace. You follow what I'm saying? He's the one who's in charge of peace. Jesus decides where peace is going to be. Jesus is the source of peace. And if you want peace, you're going to have to go through Jesus to get it. Because he's the Prince of Peace. We have the Prince of Tyre and the Prince of Tyre's side. You got all this, you know, they're the rulers. He's the ruler of peace. You cannot circumvent Jesus and still get peace. He's in charge of the peace. Now, many folks want peace in their lives, but they refuse to come to the Prince of Peace to get it. Many refuse to admit that Jesus has the upper hand when it comes to peace. Jesus has a monopoly on peace. He's the Prince of Peace. There's no one else. Some folks think they can bring about peace without having to get Jesus involved. If we come to Jesus, now watch me, we will have to obey God and follow him. That seems like too much to give up for just peace. There has to be an easier way and a better and more efficient way to achieve peace. Think about this. I want you to think this phrase. Peace, you've heard it. We're going to go to the Middle East and we're hoping to achieve peace. You've heard that phrase? Peace is not achieved. It is received. Peace is not achieved. It is received. We can achieve a ceasefire, but not peace. Number two. Number one, Jesus is the ruler of peace. He's in charge of peace. Number two, Jesus is our... So if that's the case, let's look at a couple particular things. And I don't want to spend a big time on this, but you've seen it. You know this. Jesus is our peace with God. Jesus is our peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Verse says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God now, though, gives us access to the peace of God. But we have to have the peace with God. In other words, if he's in charge of peace, we got to be in good relations with him who's in charge of peace. And there's only way that we become in good relations is if we accept the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to pay for our sin so we're allowed to come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in time of need. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that we might be just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. 1 John 2 says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not of ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That propitiation is a 16-cylinder word there that simply means the amends maker. He fixes it. He's the one who's in charge of peace. If we want the peace of God, we have to go through Jesus because he's the Prince of Peace. He's in charge of peace. We got to have Jesus. If you're saved, you do have peace with God. Our sins are forgiven. But you still may not have the peace of God. We can go through him who gives us peace with God to get saved and then try to gather up and achieve peace from then on out on our own. And then we wander from place to place, from day to day, year after year after year, still without the peace of God that he promised. We now have access to it because we've gone through him to receive peace with God. So number three, you know what it is. Jesus is our peace of God. Jesus is the controller, the ruler. He's in charge of peace. If you want to get peace with God, you're going to have to go through Jesus. There's one mediator between God and man Christ Jesus. He's our advocate, our intercessor. We have to go through Jesus. But the fact is, if we're going to have the peace of God, we've got to go through Jesus. Romans 5 again, by whom also we have peace, have access by faith into his grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope in the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have the Holy Ghost, and when that's in us, we can come and have the peace of God. I don't want to draw on there too long, because I want to give you number 4. This is where I'm going to stay. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. The first point was kind of a little fresh for you. Second two, I know you've heard the peace with God and the peace of God. Jesus is the ruler. He's in charge of peace. Number 4, I want you to see the miracle of peace. Remember, peace is not achieved. It's received. Just like the gift of God is eternal life, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me make this statement. We can rejoice because we have the Prince of Peace. The world around us can be falling apart. You know, when he said to them, "For unto us a child is born," he was saying, "Listen, I know the world looks bad, folks. You know, it could be that we're going to have to go to the woodshed for 70 years. It really could happen. But not all is lost." See, the souls of men are eternal. Even if people say, "Well, I'll be dead by the time those 70 years are over." I know. But your soul, believe God, please. Abraham believed God and was counted him for righteousness. Just trust me. Because you see, unto us a child is born. God's going to bring new life into this mess. Unto us that son's going to be given. And the government's going to be upon his shoulder. And they're called wonderful. I know it's a mess, but it's going to be wonderful. Well, how are we going to know? He's going to be counselor. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. And your heart that's in turmoil, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the one you've been looking for. He's the one that has the answer that you need, that you desire, that rest, that sweetness that we need from him. And he's in charge of it. Since he's in charge of it, that means you'll be able to get it. Because unto us a child is born. He can make it happen. He's the Almighty God. And he said, "Well, will it do for us?" He's the everlasting Father. And he has the peace you're looking for. Now in Philippians 4:4 it says, "Rejoice in the Lord alway." Now why would he say, "Rejoice in the Lord alway," if there weren't some times you didn't feel like rejoicing? I can rejoice some, but I know parts of these things are pretty hard to rejoice. You know why we can rejoice always? For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the control of all things is going to be on his shoulders. He says, "Rejoice, O Lord, always." And I say again. Again, I say, rejoice. Now watch. We want to wait, many of us, we want to wait until the Lord proves himself to us and actually does something before we're willing to rejoice. We already have the Lord. That supreme controller. The Prince of Peace. The controller of peace. He's in us. That's enough right now to rejoice. Since the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, then we can rejoice always because we always have the Lord and the Prince of Peace, the Controller of Peace, in our heart. If Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the Ruler of Peace, then no one, including Satan, can take our peace away from us unless we give it away. We may let peace go as we walk away from the Lord, but no one steals our peace. We give it away. Just as no one achieves peace, we receive it. We can lay it down and walk it away. I'm not talking about peace with God. You don't lose your salvation. But the peace of God during these confusing times. Do you trust that you have the Lord? Well, then we have peace. Watch this. Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Ask your question. Do others see your peace? Do others see your peace? There's no one stopping you from having peace because Jesus is in control of it. We walk with Him. We're walking with the Prince of Peace. He can't, Satan cannot steal it. We give it away when we take our eyes off the author and finisher of our faith. Do others see your peace? He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. And we've talked about this. It says, the Lord is at hand. Just like this glass of water is at hand. It's there every time I want. And by the way, there's more than where that came from. By the way, there's more than where that came from. Now you know why I run to the restroom in the back of the building if the service is over. Jack takes good care of me. When God gives peace, there's more than where that came from. There's more of it where, it just keeps coming. Do people see your peace? It should, because you see, He's right at hand. They ask you another question. Do you practice peace? Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Anxious for nothing. Upset. Lack of peace. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We've got the Prince of Peace. He says, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. That's the peace. He says, be careful for nothing. Do you practice peace? Do you pray? I don't mean, God is good, God is great, thank you for the food we just ate. Now I lay me down to sleep. I don't mean to be mean, but there's a guy who's a pretty good guy on the radio who was giving out a book of prayers. And I know he probably meant well. I really don't think, you know what? I don't need you to write me a book of how to talk to my wife. And I don't need a book to tell me how to talk to my everlasting Father. I need to come to Him with my whole heart. That's what He wants anyway. He doesn't want any fancy prayer. He wants something written down. He wants you to pour your heart out to Him. Well, there's a special prayer. You keep praying this prayer and you'll get what you need. It's not a magic potion. It's not hocus pocus. He wants your heart. That's all He wants. Here's another question. Well, I said, do others see your peace? Do you practice peace? Here's a question. Do you pray? Do you pray? Many folks don't even bother to ask of God because they don't know or refuse to trust in the fact that God is the ruler. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We need to be coming to Him for that peace. How do you do it? Be careful for nothing but all things, but prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, He's the ruler of peace. We got to go to Him to get the peace. You know what we do? We go out, we work, we're trying to do this and this, and trying to achieve it. And we say, okay, God, put the peace on here. Come on. Come on. I'm trying to get the peace. Do others see your peace? You know why I asked you that? And I think that's why he asks us, because we have to kind of look at ourselves from a third person. Well, you know, people see my peace. Well, if you were them and they were you, and you were looking at you, would you say that person has peace? Or you find that people, this person just, you know, just frazzled all the time. Next question. Do you pray with thanksgiving? This is interesting. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an attitude of gratitude. Now watch me. When we read, for unto us a child was born, Jesus wasn't born for hundreds of years later, but it was already done. It's as good as done. Do you realize that when we pray to God, it's as good as done? With thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. It's with grateful language. It's knowing that you are well favored. It's praying with the attitude that the answer is already there. And if the answer that it comes that I'm not looking, I mean, if the answer I'm looking for doesn't come, then maybe I need to change my prayer. Maybe I'm asking amiss. They're not a girl. That means mistakenly. Listen, Isaiah 65:24 says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Matthew 6:5, Jesus says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. It's not a production. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, will reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Matthew 6:5-8. You know what that means? We can pray with thanksgiving. He knows what I need before I even ask. Before I call, he's already answered. You know why? Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he's in control of all that. So I need to come to the Prince of Peace. Go to the guy who's in control. Go right to the top. He is a friend that's well known. There's no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Well, if we cannot pray with thanksgiving, then apparently either we're asking something we shouldn't ask, as James 1:4 says, for from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust, ye have not, ye kill, desire to have, ye cannot obtain. Ye fight, ye war, ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. God, zap that guy. He's been mean. I don't think that's going to be, you know. Sometimes it's not even God, stop the persecution as much as God, walk me through it. Why else would he say, let your moderation be your self-control? You've got to have something that would lead most people to be out of control so they can see the peace of God working in your heart. to ask of our own lust probably makes us, you know, well, you know, we probably should, and we start to waver, and that's understandable. But James again says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That doesn't sound like peace. Be able to know the Word of God so you can pray within the context and the power of the Word of God. To the Prince of Peace, who is the Word of God. You can't pull anything over on him. He's the Prince of Peace, but he's also the Word of God. Now, let me see if I can help you do this right. We got the ruler. He's in charge of peace. Jesus is our peace with God. Jesus is the peace of God. And now we've seen the miracle of peace God gives us. We don't achieve it. We receive it. Now watch this. Number five. God's peace is beyond our imagination. Let me say that again. God's peace. Not that we've worked up. Not that we've tried to console ourselves. Not that we've gone to some psychologist or psychiatrist, gone to therapy, gone to a life coach. No, we're going to work it all out and we'll give you peace. No, we don't achieve peace. You receive it from the Prince. He's the one in charge of it. And the peace that he gives is beyond our imagination. Now, as long as you're trying to help them out and do this, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot. Now, don't be doing something foolish that's going to cause more problems in your life than ask for peace. He's not going to buy that. Remember, he knows the Word of God. He knows when you're living against the Word of God. He's not going to give you peace with it, because then you're going to think it's okay to do that, and you can have peace in the midst of the sin. And the sin's going to hurt us. The sin brings forth death. So he's not going to go there. But he will give a peace beyond our imagination. Look what it says back in Philippians. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My mind's just going a mile a minute. Well, he'll keep your mind in control. He'll keep your mind where it needs to be. He's the Prince of Peace. Yeah, I know, but you know, I just have this aching in my heart. He's a part of that too. He says, I'll give a peace that goes beyond your understanding. It's beyond our imagination. It doesn't make sense. What is your heart and mind being consumed about? Let me ask you that. What consumes your heart and your mind? What are you thinking about? What is your focus on? What we think about will determine our peace. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, we're still trying, a lot of times we say, well, I want peace, but we're trying to achieve it within our own heart rather than receive it into our heart. But see, well, I'm not sure what he's going to give me. I know it's going to be beyond your understanding. Well, how's it going to do it? It's beyond your understanding. It's greater than you can think. It's greater than you can imagine. But we have to surrender to him to get it. What is your mind thinking? Well, listen, he said, be careful for nothing but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Next verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, sometimes it's hard to find virtue, but you can't find the virtue in it. Think on these things. If there be any praise, think on these things. Are you thinking about the problems? Are you thinking about all the ways that God has failed you over the years? That's a lie. This is not just positive thinking. This is God thinking. This is Prince of Peace thinking. This is Word of God. This is hiding it in our heart. It's trusting Him. It's not, He says, I will give you the peace of God. Number six, and then we'll have a conclusion. Peace comes when we work the process. Now, you say, well, I thought it was not of us. It isn't. But look at it, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Now, wait, he said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. He said, he's saying right here, I've practiced that. You've heard this. You've seen this in my life. You've seen this. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard, seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, Paul's not asking anything of us that he has not practiced himself. If you expect the Prince of Peace to give you peace, you must obey the Prince. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. That's what it is. You must obey the Prince. He's the Prince. He says, what you have learned and received. That word learn of God, that word learn means to understand. Those things which ye have both learned from Paul. Well, what he's going to teach them? The things of God. Understand God. Faith comes with a hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more faith you have, the more you're willing, when you pray, to give it to Him totally. Understand God. That's going to take some work. Many folks here have been doing it for years. But just think, if that's the key, then, and you've already been doing it for a while, then you're well on your way. Continue that. We must receive of God. Accept it. That word receive. Those things which ye have both learned and received. It's one thing to learn it. It's another thing to receive it. See, it's just like I can know God's the Prince of Peace, but it's another thing for me to receive it. To receive it, I've got to stop being careful, anxious over everything. And I need to give it to Him. Be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, it's as good as done. I give it unto Him. Same thing goes here. I need to obey the Prince. I've learned it. I'm doing everything I can to understand it. That's what He's asking us to do. And then we need to accept it, associate with it. That word receive, learned and received, associate with the truth and live by it. Let your moderation be known unto all men. So He's saying, those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, verse 9, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, some of you are going to sit here and say, well, okay, this is a worthless message because I've heard this before. If this is the promise and God doesn't lie, then if there's a problem, it lies with us. It could be we're still trying to achieve the peace rather than receive the peace. Be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finish up here. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the ruler. He controls the peace. He decides where it's going. You cannot circumvent Jesus to get the peace. And you can't play games with Him because He knows all the book. Not only that, He said when he was going to heaven, he says he's going to send another comforter. He says, I will come to you. The Holy Spirit in you is the mind of Christ. He's living with you. He's right there. You cannot slide anything by. He knows your heart and your mind. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and peace comes with the Prince. We must submit to the powers that be, and that's the Prince. You're not going to have a peace that you want unless you come to the Prince of Peace and surrender. I'm going to read this little passage here. John 14, 22, the night before Jesus is going to be crucified. He's talking to them. You go back and read 14, an awful lot about the Holy Spirit, and he said, there's peace. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know what? Trouble, that's the opposite of peace. That's a turmoil. End of that passage, he says this. Judas saith unto him, not Judas Iscariot. Judas says, Lord, how is it that you will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And see, that's exactly where many of us in this room might now be saying, well, you say we'll get the Prince of Peace. Well, why are we going to get the Prince of Peace and someone else is not? I mean, this all sounds real and dandy, but this is church talk. This is preacher talk. This is what you tell your little group on Sunday night at church. But the rest of the world goes on. And you're going to say that our little group here is going to have peace. Our little group here is going to see God work in our life. And Judas here, he said, our little group of 12 here, why is it, this is what he says, John 14, 22, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, who is me? The Prince of Peace. Right? Jesus, Prince of Peace. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. God's saying this, not just me. So if you love me, you can be doing what I'm asking you to do. If you're doing what I can ask you to do, then you can find that you will see that I'll keep my words here. You will come to me and I will make our abode with you. Verse 25, these things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. These things you have learned and received of me. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice. Rejoice the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. If ye love me, he says, you would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it's come to pass, ye might believe. Now, if you are willing to yield to the Prince of Peace, you get peace, and from peace, you get rejoicing. Didn't say everything in the world's going good around you. I'm saying, for unto us the child is born. I don't know what's going to happen. It's a long time. That's what they were saying. We know when it happened. Unto us a son is given. We know that. And the government control of all this could be upon his shoulder. That we yet to see. But just as the first two came about, the last one will come about. And we can pray with thanksgiving. If you refuse to yield and obey the Prince of Peace, don't expect the peace from the Prince. Father, speak to our hearts here this evening. Thank you for doing the work. I appreciate it. Lord, I just thank you so much for this message you brought us here this evening. May you speak to each of our hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Piano's